You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy. I have something for show and tell.
Yeah?
Oh, excellent.
Today, that might help us make sense of whatever we're about to hear.
Sure, that's great.
I've come into possession of a book called Gross's Classical Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue.
Ooh.
Which is kind of a bunch, like a dictionary for a bunch of stuff that had kind of references to vulgar things or were outright vulgar themselves. And it's all in, like, you know, old language, which fairy tales are.
They tend to be.
Any good examples? So yeah, we turn this into an NC-17 podcast recording.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if these would fly as NC-17 these days. When you can go into a whole artificial world of just body parts and holes. if you want to. Yeah, I have a couple here. Cream pot love. Such as young fellows pretend to dairymaids to get cream and other good things from them.
Oh.
Just hitting up dairymaids, I guess.
Just flirting for some free cream.
Yeah.
You get your 2% and then you're like, all right, bye. Wasn't actually interested. I got my gallon.
Durham man. Someone who is knocker-kneed. He grinds mustard with his knees. Durham is famous for its mustard, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mustard with his knees.
Which
Durham?
Does that
mean something else? I don't know. I only know of one Durham.
The North Carolina one?
But I feel like this has its origins elsewhere, so I probably think it's not that one. you could refer to your pants as ham cases.
I like that a lot.
It's pretty good, yeah. Ham case.
The sausage skins of my legs.
I'm just flipping through.
Does make getting ready better. Like, in the morning, you don't have to put on pants, which is just dull and terrible. You have to case the hams.
lag fever. A term of ridicule applied to men who, being under sentence of transportation, pretend illness to avoid being sent from jail to the hulks.
It's such a specific derogatory term.
Yeah, a lot of these are just, like, very, very specific.
Like, a lot of criteria has to be met before you can call somebody that.
Yeah. Yeah, and not for long. A Malkin trash is one in a dismal garb.
I am still thinking about that first one as, like, a fun inversion on the milkman trope.
Explain. Yeah.
The milkman being a euphemism for an affair or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where the milkman comes to drop off milk, but really he's having sex with your wife.
Right.
But here they are enticed by sex, but then they just have to give out milk for free, and then the exchange is over.
It's kind of, yeah, it's sort of just like a regular exchange.
I wonder if it's like the fairy taxes to hell collected by giants kind of, like, cycle there. The milkman flirts with the dairymaid to get the milk to then go bang the wife he actually wants to get. And it's just, that's the milk economy at work.
Interesting. A knit squeezer is a hairdresser.
I mean, I guess that at a time that was an important role of a hairdresser.
Yeah.
That's they were hairdresser and pest control in one.
Yes.
Back in the day.
A noisy dog racket is when you steal brass knockers from doors.
Just running down the road covered in knockers.
Yeah.
Tyler, I feel like you need a copy of this book just for the crime potentials because of the very specific crimes that it describes.
A lot of suggestions, yeah.
What are you going to do with all the knockers? eBay?
Sell, trade to milkmaids? Yeah. I don't know.
Make
nonsense.
Make Hooters jokes.
The definition for nonsense is nonsense, as far as I can tell. Because it means melting butter in a wig.
Yeah, sure. How did you come by this tome?
It was mentioned by a lexicographer from the UK by the name of Susie Dent, who knows lots of stuff about words and is a great source for these things. And I just decided to buy a copy.
Okay.
It seemed good to have around.
I feel like that has borne true.
Maybe pop us a link. Seems like a valuable book to have.
Yeah, it's like definitely out of print. So you have to get it on eBay or something.
Any other show and tells before we begin?
Not a single thing happened.
Like all
to
week?
Me anyway.
Yeah. Even in Death Stranding?
I'm done with Death Stranding. I'm free.
Oh.
I got the platinum trophy. There's nothing else to do. I delivered all the packages.
You don't go back and just, like, see how your roads are doing? Your zip lines?
No, I upgraded everything and then I peaced out. It's the world's responsibility now.
You've done your time.
Everyone else's problem.
Yeah. The monorails were running on time, last I checked.
I shoved a bunch of feathers into a clay sculpture and tied a bandage around another one as a blindfold. Because a lot of things went wrong with that one, and I'm trying to pretend that isn't the case. I was trying to make a completely different sculpture, and then I got very into feather details, which was a double problem. Because one, they didn't really work for the thought I had in my head at all. And two, it meant that like parts of my sculpture were drying out while I was happily carving feathers, which meant I couldn't fix issues with the eyes on this crow, and I couldn't figure out how to like properly attach the legs so it would stand and not just break. So I ended up with a crow screaming with no eyes, sitting on his whole butt with his feet sticking out, which was not at all the very serious sculpture idea I had in my head. So I attached a blindfold to it, and I'm going to call it a confident opinion, so that people are like, oh, that makes you think. I'm like, yeah, it does. This isn't just a series of fuck-ups turned into a sculpture. This was deep thought the whole way through.
It do make you think.
But I thought it'd be funny because a confident opinion is often given by someone who has like willful blindness about the situation, is screaming, and is just sitting on their whole ass. So that's probably the most exciting, worth sharing on a podcast thing that has occurred.
I guess I do have a tiny video game update that I can give. I haven't played a lot of it yet, so there will be more in the future, I'm sure, if anything noteworthy happens. But it is also book-related, so it's relevant here. Because a game came out on the Switch this week called Tiny Bookshop, and it is what it says on the tin. You run a tiny bookshop.
Delightful.
I have not played a lot of it yet, and like it, I haven't been able to name my shop because it is just a trailer attached to my car that I sell books out of right now.
Is this like a life sim?
Yeah, it's like a store management game where that you decorate fun, and you stock your shelves accordingly. The only thing worth noting thus far, my highest selling genre, crime. Crime fiction. The town loves it. Don't know why. Just happened to work out that way, but I felt it was appropriate to me at least.
Do you know what you are going to name your shop when you can?
No, I still need to think about it.
I mean, crime should probably be part of it, though.
Sure.
That sounds fun. I might have to look into getting that.
Yeah, it's neat. It's very cute.
All right. Well, I guess we should do our job now.
Sure.
We've done our bullshit. Now it's time for work. Or what passes as it on this podcast. So we're going to do a...
Oh, come on.
What?
Hold on. Let me investigate something. I just got a link to something that could have been a great topic.
Oh.
It's 75 underrated celebrity baby names.
Oh, jeez.
Underrated?
Underrated baby names.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear some.
Wolf.
I think that's cool. Rated accurately.
Elvis. Kingston.
Sorry, what is the source on this? Who is compiling this list?
Tallulah? I'm not feeling this list. Yeah, it's a lot of just... There's river, ocean, saga. We're just doing words.
Cool names,
yeah, you can just open a dictionary and name a baby.
Banks.
Jason, who has been on this podcast before, reached out to me vis-a-vis Ghost Scream Lemonade with a recommendation. I haven't been able to follow up on this, but the recommendation that we try CC Lemon, if we've got an Asian grocery store nearby that sells it.
That's a good idea.
Which is a lemon soda with high vitamin C in it, so you can pretend that you're doing it for your health.
Yeah.
And then Jason pointed out that Ramune might make a good float, and now we have if we can get Jason to come down here, we're gonna just do a video essay on will it float, wherein we try as many different beverages with as a control vanilla bean ice cream floating in it, and then if we have a successful one, we might be able to do like alternate combos, the shiny of that particular float.
I like that idea.
Was it a lemon float you talked about before?
Yeah, it was just lemonade with vanilla bean ice cream, and then you make a ghost face with chocolate chips, or I guess if you're a steady hand, chocolate syrup.
I'm going to the dentist on Wednesday, but if I pass, if I get good grades, maybe I'll do that.
Just fuck up your teeth with that.
Usually what I do, if I get like a clean bill of health, that is carte blanche to do what I want.
Well, I'll see about that.
I'm gonna fuck this all
we'll
up.
We'll see who's laughing in 6 months.
All right, now to folklore. The titular topic of this podcast. All right, so we're gonna go to North America for tales from the various tribes there, not necessarily cited. One of them is Sioux, and the other one is question mark. Oh, Cheyenne. It's Cheyenne. So we're doing a double feature today, because these are both short. One of them features the best name I've seen in a minute, and or like the best title, and the other one the best opening line.
Okay.
Each of them has something to recommend them. Our first one will be the Cheyenne story, The Eye Juggler.
Interesting title. Thought-provoking.
This is suggested by Millipedish, so thank you, Millipedish. The original link cited for it was a University of Idaho page that is no longer in existence. So I found it, thanks to the very distinctive title, on nativelanguages.org. And they cite Stith Thompson's Tales of the North American Indians from 1929 as the source for this. So I don't know if I got the exact translation or source that Millipedish had in mind, but I got something with eyes and yeah, I think it's probably close.
Okay.
Are you ready for the eye juggler?
I don't know. Am I? Only you know that, Carmen.
It's short, but I think we've got a lot of fixing to do on this one. Once, there was a man who could send his eyes out of his head up onto the limb of a tree and then call them back by saying, "Eyes hang upon a branch." Which I guess just makes them self-conscious and they go back to where they're supposed to be.
Provokes a lot of questions early.
It does. None of them will be answered, so we can return to those.
Is he slug?
He is stated to be man.
Is he snail?
Maybe man snail.
Man snail of some kind. Like it's just the balls are leaving, the eyeballs.
The eyeballs are just like going up to sit on a tree branch like a bird.
None of the roots are going.
I don't I don't know how much I goes. I don't think it remains connected to him in any way, so I don't think it is an awooga wolf whistle situation.
You can't use it as like a grappling hook.
Yeah, it does.
To
it does
swing
not
from branch to branch.
It does not appear that he can then retract the eyes and pull himself up into a tree.
What, it's like Spider-Man, but eyeball based?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The worst Spider-Man. I don't know if he can even see when they're up there. Like, I don't know what this is other than a party trick.
How did he come by them?
Yeah, are they natural or are they made of some sort of other substance?
Well, there's that theory that everybody has like a superpower / special talent, but it takes finding out what it is, and some of them are highly specific. So
very difficult, yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is that situation where, like, maybe he did an awooga and his eyes ended up in a tree and he's like, oh, we're going to backwards engineer how that happened.
Well, it also has an incantation.
It does.
That is required, it sounds like.
It didn't strike me upon the first reading. It's a weird incantation to bring them back.
Yes.
Just to point out where they are.
Yes.
So that's why I think it makes them self-conscious, because they realize that they're doing the wrong thing, because eyes don't belong up there.
It's kind of a scolding.
Yeah. So Whiteman, which I initially thought was like a reference to just a white person.
Yeah, a European.
But is Veho, old man spider, a trickster? So white man saw him doing this and he came to him crying because he wanted to learn how to do the cool eye thing too.
Not the expected reaction.
No.
Weeping would be involved, but not because of jealousy.
Yeah. I think if I watched a man do this, I might cry also. But I also, my eyes water pretty hard when I watch somebody put contacts in, so I just have a sensitivity about that whole area.
Yeah.
I would not want to learn to do this.
No.
I would like my eyes to stay exactly where they are and not in trees.
If you could upgrade your body in this way or some similar way, what would you go for? What is the ideal body?
What if my lips could do it like an anteater?
But they're still attached? Like,
yeah.
Is it your mouth?
Again, I just want to swing from branches.
But the and stretchy lips is the best way to get there, you think?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Or like thinking like, what if we could project our part of our body into a tree, what would it be?
You could do that or just in general. What do you upgrade it to have? It's like all options on the table.
Detachable boobs, like most women, I think. Like, get those things out of there when they're gonna be in the way or it's the achy times.
Is there like a satisfying ka-chunk when you do it?
I hope so.
Like, how robotic is it? Or is it more just like...
What, so you have to, like, do a tactical reload to put them back in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta, like, thread them like a jar lid.
How do you feel? Like, obviously you can detach them if you want to. But just consider maybe moving them. What if they could just move to somewhere else for a time period?
I don't want them anywhere else.
Like, you could just swing them to the back for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want that. It's not comfortable to, like, lay on them.
So you just don't want them at all?
Yeah, I would like to be able to put the... They can go on the top of a tree. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing says you can't just leave them up there.
Yeah, you don't have to say the incantation to get them back.
There are times when I enjoy having them. Like, they make certain shirts look much better, but there are a lot of times when they're just kind of in the way and a pain. So it'd be nice to have the option to have them when I wanted them, but most of the time I don't. So they can hang out in a tree.
I think I would be able to, if I could have, like, an organic Guess Who board unfold out of my chest. So it's always there.
But is it always the same?
Ideally, it would be different. So it's like a guess who roguelike. I don't know. That's really what that game was missing, is just by hundreds of other guys that you can swap in and out.
Not to lead into this being our body horror episode, but like, is it just an open cavity when it's flipped out, or what's going on?
I was kind of thinking like, not fully open. I think it's just like embedded.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it like slots out.
Is it good?
Like a disk drive. Is it a good idea?
Yeah, basically. If you could draft people for your Guess Who board, does that like improve that game a lot?
I feel like there were customizable boards in that way, weren't there?
How big did Guess Who get as a game? Like, I remember having a travel version for the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, imagine it was lodged inside you.
And had DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah, Border Control can never take it off you.
It has the buyable hats mechanic.
It's exclusively faces of people you wish you could forget.
Kind of a haunted, Ouija-esque Guess Who board.
Yeah, I'm kind of just going Hellraiser today, it feels like.
Yeah.
Good day for it, I think. So, Tyler, are you sticking to stretchy lips that you can swing from?
That I can swing from, yes.
Okay.
You could just be Pinhead.
I think I'll go either stretchy lips that I can swing from or just be Pinhead. Those are the two good options.
Covers most situations.
I worry sometimes about our definition of good and how it has shifted over the years. All right, so Eye Juggling Man taught Vejo how to do this, but he warned him it has a limit, like a D&D spell. Like, you can do this 4 times a day, and then that's done.
There's charges.
Yeah.
Now this, the white man spirit, yeah. Spider-like or is a spider?
I don't know too much about Old Man Spider. We can look that up at the end of this. But yeah, he goes off to the river, found the highest tree he could, because if you're going to do this...
Go big or go home.
Yeah. And he sent his eyes to the top and called them back, and that was rad. So he's like, fuck yeah, I don't need to... 4 times a day? No. Fuck that shit. I'm doing this as much as I want. I don't need your rules. Dad, or random eye juggling man. So on the fifth time, I guess his eyes got sick of the bullshit and they refused to come back. Maybe the shame wears out. Maybe you can shame your eyes into returning 4 times, and then after that, they're just like, you know what? I'm gonna live my truth in this tree. So he calls all day, but his eyes began to swell and spoil, and flies gathered on them. So just a deeply unpleasant situation. He eventually gets tired and he lays down, still calling for his eyes, and he cries.
From the sockets?
Yeah. I don't think you need the balls to cry.
I don't actually know what's going on in there. I've never thought to look it up.
What's going on in an eye?
Yeah.
I think the tears come from like a different duct that is not related to the eyeball. But again, I get really sensitive about eyes, so this whole story is deeply uncomfortable for me. Mine are watering right now. So at night he was half asleep when he felt a mouse run over him, and he closed his lids so that mice wouldn't see that his eyes are missing, and he is blind. So apparently they can't see for him in the tree, so I don't know what the hell the point of this is. Like, I could see this being a useful thing to get some reconnaissance.
Right, yeah.
But if you can't see through the eyes in the trees, this is just a party trick. Or a thing to do when you're bored. 4 times.
It's kind of like curling your tongue.
Yeah.
Not a lot of utility to it, but...
Can you do this?
Pretty neat.
So he lays very still so that he can try and catch a mouse. And finally, one sits on his chest, and he kept very quiet and still to keep from scaring it off. And eventually it climbed up onto his face to try and cut his hair for a nest, which implies to me like a regular people head of hair. But
yeah,
maybe he's a spider in a wig. It also licked his tears, just as a side thing. Could always use salt, I guess.
They're there. Might as well.
As it was busy with these... ministration's tail fell into his mouth, so he closed it and thus caught the mouse and then told it of his problem, I guess through the gritted teeth, which is, I'm sure, a very fun way to hear about someone's eyes being stuck in a tree. So the mouse says, yeah, I see the eyes. They are ridiculously swollen. Like, whoa, man.
They look bad up there.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I don't know if you want them, but I can go get them for you. But white man would not let it go. So the mouse is like, okay, all right, man, we can talk. What's it going to take to let me go? So he names the price of one of the mouse's eyes. And the mouse is like, sure, dude. Whatever gets me out of your mouth.
Sounds so crazy, but okay, dude.
Yeah, so he gets a mouse eye and he lets the mouse go. And the small eye sits pretty far back in his socket and he can't see very well with it. Yeah. It's just not a great solution. Also, I don't know how great mouse vision is.
I don't know.
I wasn't sure that you could make an open eye socket more horrifying, but putting a beady little mouse eye in it has done it for me.
Yeah, maybe I should have said if this were a spook lore. I'm really bad at that. I have no idea what we're going to do for spook lore this year.
We'll just read this one again.
Yeah, that's fine. No one will notice, right? We forget him as soon as we're done. There's a buffalo grazing nearby, and white man went over to stand near him crying. Which is just, I guess, kind of a fun way to go about solving your problems.
It does get people to notice.
It does. So the buffalo's like, what the fuck, man? And he says, well, you have the power to help me in my trouble. Which also is a very bold way to get help from random strangers. Just go up to them, start crying, and say, only you have the power to solve this. So the buffalo says, okay, what do you want? And white man says, I lost an eye and I need one. And the buffalo, I guess, either is incredibly charitable or just really hates the sound of crying. Just gives really him one. Just
really wants it to stop.
Yeah, like there's no trade or anything. It's just like, fine, dude, whatever, have an eye. Stop sobbing near me. It's very depressing. So now white man can see far again. But this eye is too big for his socket, and most of it was stuck outside of it, while most of the other was stuck inside of it, and thus he remained. The end. So I think this one needs some of our patented assistance to be a story.
Is it a cautionary tale?
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Listen to directions, pay attention to spell slots, don't put your eyes in trees for no reason.
Yeah, we didn't yet have metal poles to warn children not to lick at wintertime, so we had to come up with this story.
Yeah. It also sounds like it's an origin story of some kind. Like, my best guess is trying to explain the weird-ass eyes of spiders.
Maybe. Why some of them are beady and some of them are big.
Yeah, it's missing a lot of eyes in that, but
yeah, there's just the two covered, but maybe he just kept going around talking to ox and mice,
just collecting them. It started an obsession. He lost his eyes and he needed to find more, and he found eight. None of them fit right. It does make for an interesting character design to have one big buffalo eye and one beady mouse eye. And to just be crying all the time from both of them.
Be good at different things.
It's like bifocals.
Yeah, one's for distance, one's for up close.
Yeah. I think the number one fix this story needs is a little bit more attention on the man who just does this.
Yeah, I was going to say OG juggler just kind of went about his day.
Yeah, just doing this four times and then goes home. Think, well, that's it.
Gotta wait clock till tomorrow. In, clock out.
Yeah. With a name like Eye Juggler, I would like to see more eye juggling. Or maybe other tricks that the eyes do. Like just sending them to the top of a tree. I feel like that party trick works once or twice. And then you have to find different parties.
I don't know if it's something I would ask someone to do a second time.
I could see somebody asking someone to do it a second time just to, like, try and see how it was done.
confirm what they saw.
Yeah, but I can't see them wanting to see it for a third time or being entertained by it past that point. And it seems like the eyes do poorly very quickly outside of the eye socket.
Yeah, they're definitely supposed to stay wet.
Would it be better to put them in a lake than in a tree?
Just better like for the eyes or better for the...
Yeah.
Float them around.
Can we improve the trick?
I think
that's more useful.
Yeah, I think a major improvement would be that you can see through them. And I feel like that would be really disorienting too if he's like trying to get him back, but he can't see around where his body is. He just sees everything from the top of the trees.
Can we change it so that the eyes go on their own fun little adventure, or is that too horrifying?
I mean, what's too horrifying?
I don't know. They're just up in a tree, and what do they do there? Who do they meet?
Birds, probably.
Do they fall in love?
With a bird?
With a bird?
Be happy giving them a B plot.
Yeah. You know, mostly I want to learn about the OGI juggler. What are you doing?
And how did you come by this trick? How did you stumble on the incantations you needed?
Yeah, I think I just want a different story about this concept. I just want to know about that guy.
The thing we can do, throw it out, start over.
Yeah, start fresh with there is a man who could send his eyes out of his head onto the limb of a tree. And then go in a different direction from that point. Like, we don't need Sabi McSpider coming by to steal this guy's cool trick and then mess it up. I feel like, as described, the spider is the lame younger brother of Shit Raven.
As far as tricksters go.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe we just don't know enough about this spirit, but being called a trickster, I expected more tricks.
I mean,
and not being tricked and then weeping for the rest of the story.
I guess sobbing to get your way is something of a trick.
I think he was legitimately upset, though.
I mean, I would be too.
I don't feel like they were crocodile tears.
The first ones might have been.
For the mouse?
No, for the guy to tell him how to do the eye thing.
Oh, sir. Well,
I think
that was just, yeah.
It seems like either this is his default emotional response to big feels, or he has learned that this is a cool trick he can do to get people to give him what he wants. I think when he lost his eyes, those were definitely genuine tears of, I fucked this up all the way. I don't know what to do now. The buffalo tears, like going over and seeing a buffalo and starting to cry over near him, that feels calculated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts or other things? Do you have any preferences for how Eye Juggler could have gotten his stuff? Like what story we tell of that guy?
It's just one of the world's mysteries.
Yeah. Who is Eye Juggler? Where did
it's
he
right
come
up there
from?
With Stonehenge.
It's like, fine. You don't have to know everything. It could just be a mystery.
Is he like a cherry man entity? He's definitely not the cherry man, but is he in that like class of entities?
Maybe. I mean, I'd keep a lookout, but don't know based on this one.
Kind of feels like he's just a weird guy.
Yeah.
Just like distinct from a cherry man.
Like no agendas of any sort. Just kind of a weird guy doing a weird thing.
All cherry men are weird guys, but not all weird guys are cherry men.
Yeah.
All right, are you ready for the Sioux tale?
Please.
So this one comes to us courtesy of Kid Chaos. Thank you, Kid Chaos. It is called Gobble Knoll.
Gobble Knoll.
Gobble Knoll. This is sourced from A Book of Goblins, edited by Alan Gardner, which sounds like a great book to own. And they transposed it from the Sioux folktale of Rabbit and Pehe Wathahuni, Myths and Legends of North American Indians by Lewis Spence from 1916. And Alan Gardner is an English novelist, born in 1934. titles include The Weird Stone of Brisingamen and its sequel, The Moon of Gomrath. And according to the Wikipedia pages on these things, apparently Garner grew to dislike the main characters of these two books and didn't bother writing the third one that was planned for the series, which is a big mood, and I respect it.
I wonder how often that happens.
Yeah. But he is a Carnegie medalist, and he is married to somebody named Griselda, are the two fun facts that I gleaned. And this story starts out with... There was a hill that ate people.
It's cool.
Rabbit's grandmother told him to never go near it, but Rabbit apparently has obstinate defiant disorder and goes straight to the hill and shouts, "Hey, Gobble Knoll, swallow me up! Come devour me!"
Relatable.
Don't do that. All right, I'll do exactly that and loudly.
I think that's key to crime weaving.
This is a crime, really. Rabbit. But Gobble Knoll knew the rabbit and didn't bother paying any attention to him. If your food wants to be eaten, it doesn't taste as good.
Take something out of it, I guess.
Later that day, there was a group of travelers that had wandered by looking for shelter from the rain. And Gobble Knoll opened his green, ferny mouth. So they think they've found a cave, and they go in, and Rabbit slips in behind them. So he is dedicated to being eaten by this cave.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. I don't know if this is, like, if he's reached the point where he's just like, let the loam take me, because relatable. Or if he's just into vor, or...
Well, maybe it's starting that way. It's awakening something.
Yeah, he's like, wait, a hill that will eat me? I gotta do this.
Intriguing.
I don't know why. It's stirring something in me.
At first, I just wanted to make Grandma angry, but now...
Now I need to explore my truth. Gobble Knoll feels the hairy pads of Rabbit on its tunnels and throws him out before he can reach the middle. So I don't know if Gobble Knoll is, like, allergic to Rabbit or just doesn't like the... If it's, like, me and Coconut, like, the texture is bad and just does not want it in his mouth. But Hill does not enjoy Rabbit at all. So Rabbit, being very committed to this bit, now hides behind a tree to wait for another opportunity.
You will eat me, you son of a bitch.
Eventually a hunting party shows up, and Gobble Knoll opens for them like it did for the others. And the rabbit used magic to take the shape of a man. So
this is a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
I feel like it.
So he is now man-shaped, except for his ears. I'm not sure if this is a limitation of his magical abilities, or if it's rabbit vanity. Like, you can't get rid of, like, I'm not going to get rid of these
glorious ears. Ain't nothing wrong with these ears.
Yeah. So he tucks the ears into his shirt so they're not going to brush against the roof and make Gobble Knoll sneeze. And this trick works. He gets to go down the long, horrid passages for reasons unknown.
To the Cave of Wonders.
Then he gets to the stomach, and there are a bunch of remains of victims, and some that aren't yet dead, just kind of hanging out.
Playing cards.
So Rabbit shouts, "Hey, hey, hey, why don't you eat? You've left some good shit down here."
He yells at the stomach?
Yeah, I guess...
That he's inside of?
Yeah, yelling at Gobble Knoll from inside the stomach, judging him for not having digested everything.
That's not up to me, buddy.
And then he says, "Here's a delicious heart. What's wrong with it?" And then Gobble Knoll, the hill that eats people, howls because the rabbit has seen his own heart. And the rabbit knows this. Or I guess, not clear from the story if he knew this when he started making fun of him, or if the howling alerted him to the fact that this is an important bit.
This is the weak point.
But he took out a knife he has. So he's an armed magical rabbit. And he stabs it into the heart and kills the hill dead.
Why?
The ground split and opened up to the sky, and the living victims escaped, and they wept before Rabbit, and they wanted to give him power and riches and thanks for having released them from Gobble Knoll.
And he stabbed them too, because he's a fucking sociopath.
Well, he just wants Gobblenole's fat, so he says no thanks to power and riches, and takes all of the fat from the hills on his back, and he and his grandmother had boatloads to eat for many days. Just stuffed to the gills on hill fat. The end. Brief but powerful.
What a lunatic.
And this is coming from you, Tyler.
You're just a psycho.
Grandma
heard
says,
about this dangerous thing that eats people, and he's like, well, I want to eat that. That's what I'm going to eat.
Maybe it's a delicious and dungeon problem.
Like, the obstinance goes further than just not doing what his grandma told him to do. It goes, like, I'm going to eat the thing that eats people.
Yeah, not only am I going to not avoid this thing, I'm going to become it, but bigger and worse and destroy
it. I'm the eater around here, buddy. I do the eating.
I do love the, like, the attitude of this rabbit as a character. To just stomp its way into the stomach of a thing that does not want to eat it.
Kill it.
And it. Well, shout at it and shame it first. Like, you're standing in the stomach among the remains of the dead people it has already consumed, and you're just shouting, hey, you missed some, idiot. Did digest these guys. Feels more hare than rabbit, really.
In what way?
Because hares look a lot more neurotic than rabbits and are a bit more erratic in their behaviors. But rabbit is another trickster spirit. And this one actually features tricks. Well done. I don't know that there's anything I would change about this one. I would just like to expand upon rabbit's psyche a bit, I think.
Yeah, I do like what's there.
It's some good bones.
I don't want to lose any of it.
Yeah. I think maybe some more conversations with Rabbit and Grandma.
A little bit, to establish that dynamic.
Maybe more magic?
Maybe more magic.
Than just the one spell?
And maybe, like, rather than just having a knife, Rabbit, because Rabbit does not give a shit, just takes a knife off of a victim. I feel like you could do interesting things with this as a foundation.
I think so.
I love the name Gobblenole for
a
hill
that
eats people. And there was a hill that ate people is a very solid start to a story. Getting straight to the point. There's no parents that don't matter in the next sentence. It's got a hook. It makes me interested to read Alan Garner's actual books that he came up with on his own. Because what I was reading from the Weird Stone of Brisingamen, it looks like he uses his folklore research as a basis for his novels as well, so that could be very fun. How good is hill fat to eat, you think?
It's dirt, right?
It doesn't seem good. Like, I can't imagine it might be filling, but that's about it.
Like, I kind of thought we were heading in the direction of an origin of why rabbits burrow.
Right. But no.
Because hill rejected them.
No, it's rabbits murder hills and eat their fat.
I guess that could still be the case. Like, they're just looking for other hill fat.
That's
out there.
True, yeah. They're shouting, eat me, at the hills as they dig their way in. All right, so any final thoughts on either of these stories?
No, but I'm interested in their wider implications.
Yeah, they both have potential to be bigger stories. Like, if you're looking for inspiration to do a longer short story, or if you're very bold about it, a novel, Gobblenole would be an interesting watership down sort of situation.
Yeah.
And the Eye Juggler, I mean, that's just a blank slate. Go in so many different directions with that. So thank you to Millipedish and Kid Chaos for the suggestions this week.
The dream team.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you to everybody who has been listening to the show, sharing it around, all of that stuff. Thank you to our patrons who have kept us in business. And thank you to our top tier patrons, Free Legal Counsel for Cricket, Paddington Bear, the Marmalade Psychopump, Bagged Milk, Just a Silly Goose, Kodam Azir, Local Werewolf, Bones Eater, Beset by Wretched Fae, Cheshire Rogue, Realistic Duck, Five-Headed Snake God, Frog Whisperer, Lucky, Lord of Dragons, Biblio Princess, Midori, Becca Lobster No Longer, Haley the Midnight Egg Merchant, Awkward, I'm Not One to Gossip, but... Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spaghetto, Caitlin, Suffering the Consequences of Not Wearing Sunscreen, Your Girl Olwen, Allie, Knife Dad, Cobus Cat, Versus Me Trapped in a Delnoir Time Bubble, Nathan the Scott, Gregor Millipedish, High Lucis of Wimbus, I, Carmen, hereby agreed to give Tyler negative one of something. Haley, Lily, Izzy, and also Jenna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
We're about the folklore, and that's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.